sometimes when newcomers come to St. Lydia's, they tell me they find it because they or someone they know read this book, Rachel Held Evans, Searching for Sunday. I'd never read it, but on Friday I was at my local public library picking up more COVID tests, which you can get free at the library and bring to St. Lydia's, and Debbie would be very happy. And I saw the book on the shelf, so I picked it up and I checked it out. And I'm reading it. It turns out that Rachel Held Evans, who tragically died in 2019 because of an allergic reaction to medication. She grew up in Tennessee, a child of evangelical Christianity. Although she writes her tomboy, no makeup style was always at some angle to its vision of biblical womanhood. Her story is a common one in evangelicalism during the past quarter century, the era of its embrace of the Republican Party and the culture wars. She describes how she grappled with the gap between increasingly hateful actions of her church, especially towards queer and trans people, and the open-hearted Jesus she meets in Scripture, who reaches out to all, and especially those who are disregarded by society. She finally reached a breaking point, and she left her church. Eventually, she found her way back through open and affirming sacramental churches that center God's mercy, forgiveness, love, and justice. Her whole book is structured not by beliefs, but by practices. Practices in which she came to experience God's presence and love. Her chapter on St. Lydia's in the communion section of her book is unsurprisingly called The Meal. In her rediscovery of church through holy food for holy people, a wave of relief spread over her like a down comforter on a cold winter's day. She and everyone else, no exceptions, are claimed by God as beloved and welcomed around Jesus' table. That's the deepest hunger we have, she writes, to find that all the ways the world tells us we are not enough, not beautiful enough, not smart enough, not rich enough, not acceptable in some way, not wanted, are in the end wrong. All those Good Friday rejections are undone by an Easter in which the dead are made alive again. I'm thinking particularly this week of events unfolding in my home state of Montana. There, as the Republican governor and legislature join other regressive Republican-led states in passing anti-transgender legislation, Zoe Zephyr, who is a transgender representative from Missoula, spoke strongly in opposition. She was first silenced by the Republican majority and then barred from the House chambers altogether. S.J. Howell, another representative from Missoula, wrote the number 31, Zephyr's House seat number, on a post-it note and put it on the wall above a couch in the hallway outside the House chambers and sat with Zephyr while she worked in exile. Exactly here, with this couch moment, both painful in its reality of exclusion and power as an ethical spectacle in solidarity, I think the scripture has something helpful to say to us. During Eastertide, we've slowed down to take the post-resurrection verses at the end of Matthew's gospel one by one, listening to what it means to be Easter people in a Good Friday world. Last week in our text, two verses actually, the 11 remaining disciples gathered on a mountain in Galilee where they met Jesus as the angel had told the woman at the tomb that he would. Jesus approaches them and says, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Matthew uses the human one as a title for Jesus. Traditionally, it's translated the Son of Man. This is a title drawn from the book of Daniel in the Hebrew scriptures. Unusual for the books of the Hebrew Bible, Daniel was not written in Hebrew, but in Aramaic. And the title given to Jesus here is written Bar Anash, literally the human one in Aramaic. In chapter 7, Daniel sees visions of grotesque animals who engage in violent campaigns, images representing the dominant empires of the time whose goal is use of their immense power to destroy others and assure their own privileges and pleasures. But in the vision, all those empires come to an end. There, at the end, Daniel writes, "One like Bar-Anesh, a human one, comes and approaches the Ancient of Days, and the human one was given all power and glory and dominion." In order to make sense of what this power is, Matthew reports Jesus as having, we need to first of all notice that it's not the violent power of empire. That power tried to destroy Jesus, and God's raising him from the dead signals the path of violence and force will not endure, as it is against the God of life and love. Daniel's vision, too, shows the Ancient of Days putting down empires from their thrones and giving all power to the human one. Matthew gives us a beautiful and important insight to what this power looks like. In an action, Matthew identifies gives us a beautiful and important insight into what this power looks like in action. Matthew identifies Jesus not only as the human one, but also as wisdom, Sophia. In chapter 11, Jesus defends himself against his critics who dislike his tendency to hang out with the wrong kind of people. Jesus says, "The human one came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom, Sophia, is vindicated by her deeds." This beautiful passage has rich implications for how we understand Jesus' use of power. His identification with wisdom, Sophia, and her deeds is exemplified by actions throughout his ministry, reaching out to all who are labeled and rejected, hurt or harmed, and saying to them, "You too are God's beloved." It is appropriate then that the word for power that Matthew uses here is feminine, exousia. It is a power to act, especially as moral authority. Wisdom Sophia is vindicated by her deeds of power. Jesus, as wisdom Sophia, has all power on heaven and on earth. And the most important work, the crucial work, is bringing the dead to life. It is to go to you and to any other beloved of God who has been told you do not fit, you are not welcome, you do not have a place, and to speak to you the truth of the miracle of your life. Being Easter people in a Good Friday world means, among other things, standing in the power of this truth. Something along these lines was happening on that couch where S.J. Howell posted 31 above the couch for Zoe's effort. It means, among other things, what Rachel Held Evans found when, at a welcoming and inclusive Episcopal parish, the bread of life was placed in her hands, holy food for holy people. It means, among other things, that Jesus' wisdom, Sophia, comes this very night with peace for you, not as the world gives, but as befits those who in this troubled world seem to find no peace. For you too, this exousia, this power of life, comes to be here, now.